All right, wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you, Father. Lord, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, God. Lord, give us wisdom as we open your word. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask your prayer for Connie. Lord, she's not feeling good this morning. Just ask that you be with her. Lord, again, we just thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Start reading in verse 24. Just want to, start out just saying, talking about Mother's Day. Just this is the day to think of mothers and the things that they do, and the I think the overlooked importance that a mother or motherhood is or has in this world. It's despised basically by the world, you know, everybody. I don't know, it's just something that is not looked upon seriously as something to do or a way of life. But being a mother is the very foundation of all civilization. I mean, just modern times is, you know, we've all got to have jobs to mean something, or we've got to have a position to mean something, or we got to be out doing something to be valuable. And I think even among ourselves, sometimes we neglect to recognize that the most important job in the world, from the very foundation of everything, is being a mother, being a parent. I mean, the whole civilization rests on that. You know, whatever a person might accomplish in the world is nothing without the importance, without the being a mother. It pales in comparison. I mean, the mother is preparing the future, and, you know, doing a job, you know, you might accomplish something for something, but being a mother, you're perpetuating life for good or evil. And so I just want to, you know, just take the moment to recognize those things and realize, you know, it may seem boring just taking care of the house and doing all of those stuff. You're not out just running all over the place. But your number one, your highest priority, you know, as a woman, is to be there as a mother. You know, you're a wife and a mother, and, or, you know, you're just, you have a responsibility of taking care of your home and ordering it in the way as your husband would want it done. And the priority and the purpose of that is just something we need to really, I mean, I could preach all day about it, you know, we could talk about it all day, but I just wanted to bring a few thoughts about it to just recognize the absolute importance of it. Like I said, it's just, you know, if you think of God's creation and how he set this all in order, without a mother, there's no next generation. And we have the ability to influence that. The old saying, the one who rocks the cradle rules the world. And there's just so much to that. And the influence of the next generation is in your hands. I mean, you can, for good or evil, build your house or you can tear it up. It's in your hands. It's just amazing the power that God has given to people to have that ability in their own hands to either destroy, and he respects that. You know, people say, well, why does God let good things happen to bad people, or why do bad things happen to people? And the answer is that God loved us enough to give us a choice. That's part of who we are, is a will, an ability to make choices and to do things. And you take that away and you have robots. We have nothing. Just a lifeless thing. But part of being life is that, like was talked about, that choice. One of these days when life ends, we no longer have that choice to affect our who we are. And so this opportunity to have this choice is just part of the creation. And he gives that to that power. You know, a woman may think that she doesn't have any power. She's just got to listen to her husband. You have the power to do right and do good, support your husband, support your children, or you can just tear that to shreds. And God will honor that. And you will reap that. I mean, that's just part of it. And it's, like I said, it's the being the wife, the mother, is a great responsibility. It's not a, you know, sometimes you think it's a second job or a underlying thing, you know, that it doesn't mean much, but it is one of the most powerful things in the world. And if a woman can't get behind her husband and support him and raise her children the way that they should be raised, you know, like I said, you can undermine that. You can, I don't know, I just heard recently someone talking about her husband, and he might have had some bad qualities or something, or some things or some thoughts that he had. I'm going to read this verse here, and we may just go on to see how it's tying in. It says, in verse 24, Matthew 16, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.' If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is to everyone. And I just see how it ties in to what we've been talking about being a mother, you know, or being how the responsibility that there is of the woman. You know, it may not be very glamorous, your job, or it may not appear that much to you, but it is your responsibility, and it is sometimes your cross. the story I was telling about was about a woman that her husband wasn't very special, maybe. Or maybe he was a little special, I don't know. But she had the opportunity to testify about him or just say something about him. And she said, "He's my hero. He's the one I look up to, even with all his flaws." And she wouldn't even mention those. But her idea and her thought was that along for the ride, but she's his biggest fan. I mean, just having someone that's kind of the model or the idea that whenever we look at a husband as Lord, that it's not something you just have to do. You know, it may be a cross sometime. It may be a burden sometime. But that's what my message was about, was the choices we make with the trouble that God gives us in life. And we can either take that and just make our lives miserable with it, or we can take that and let God have the chisel and the hammer to make us into what He wants us to be. And that is always something glorious. Or we can reject that. And our responsibility as a mother is to... You know, the husband may not be everything. May not turn out to be Mr. Dreamboat that you thought he was. But he's who God has put you together with now. It's who you're together with now. And as you just learn to love him and support him. And you be his biggest fan. You know, there's nothing that tears down a man any worse than to have his wife always nagging at him and never do nothing right. That's just the hardest thing for a man to take. But whenever that wife is there just being always supportive and always behind him and just helping him, I mean, that does more for the man and the relationship. That's how you make him what you would like him to be. The complaining and nagging and never doing anything right will never make him what you want him to be. But that you just make it where he don't want to fail you. See, that we can take that cross or that burden. We've thought about this from the thorn in the flesh. Brother Stanley was talking about it this morning, reading it and having a little understanding about it. That thorn in the flesh, those imperfections, those things that you don't like about someone, instead of letting them make you mad or bitter or resentful, you just take them and you just let them make you the better person. You know, sometimes we don't like the hand we're given or the hand we're dealt or the thing or the life that God has given us. But that's who you are. Whatever you are. Whatever the issues you have, whatever the problems, the sickness, the weakness, the whatever God has gifted you with, you can take that and let it make you into a diamond, or you can let that just turn you into the bitter, angry, resentful, most difficult person alive. That's the thing that God has given. He has given us the opportunity to be the most thankful, blessed person to be around. I, you know, some of the people that I've seen that had the hardest lives, that have been the kindest and the best people that I've ever met. And then I've seen people who had everything in the world handed to them, right in their own hands, and they'd be the most miserable, hard to get along with people that you've ever seen. And all it amounts to is how the person received what God had given them. It's just amazing that, I mean, this is God right here, who He is. He's big enough to give you the opportunity to be good or evil. Good and evil are in your hands. That's one of the things that convinces me most of all that there is a God, that there's evil in the world. Because as evil and as dark as it can be, you can be just as kind and just as good on the other side. And it's all within our choice. That's a big God to give us that kind of choice. To live with someone that may be ugly or bad or mean. And for us to take that instead of getting resentful and bitter and shaping us into something very ugly, just to turn that around, and we can still have joy, and we can still have peace, we can still be kind, we can still be merciful, we can still be good. Wonderful thing is that it's all available to us, and that's the power of God to transform our lives from whatever it was. You know, it doesn't matter what we've been through or what cross God has put upon us or what bad thing or bad situation. We can either let that make us bitter or we can let it make us better. Said it a lot. The only thing in this world that you can control is the attitude. How you approach those very things. You know, we spend our lives. This goes on. It says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, we spend our whole lives trying to save our lives, trying to fix all these things that are annoying to us and all these things that bother us and all these things that mess up our life. And so we fight against them all the time. And if we would just lose our lives to the situation God has put us in, it's amazing what He can do to that. You know, some of us have things that will never be fixed as far as physically this life or mentally or whatever. But when we learn to accept the way God made me, you know, it's amazing how far that goes to actually fixing the problems that we have instead of magnifying them and making them worse. Our mothers have such a powerful thing in their, to be such a powerful example in our lives of making us. Mothers, grandmothers, I love my mother, I love my grandmother, I probably quote my grandmother more than anybody. But she would just, if I would mess up or fail, she would say, if at first you don't succeed, try again. In other words, never give up. Just keep on pressing on. That's something that's just, you just don't quit whenever you're doing right. You don't give up. You just keep on pressing on. She'd tell me, you know, I don't care what you do. You might be a ditch digger, which, you know, that's maybe the lowest job you can be, a ditch digger. You just be the best ditch digger you can be, and I'll be proud of you. Just some of those things that just instill, just dealing, living with what we're given. You know, I've talked about the cross throughout my Christianity quite a bit. You know, and I think a lot of times there's a lot of people that don't really know what the cross is. They just don't understand it. You know, but the Bible says it's the power of God. Not just the cross that Jesus died on, but it's the cross that He gives us that reveals the power of God in our lives. The thing that you maybe dread the most or hate the most, and God laying it right in your lap and saying, here, live with this for a while. And it's what we do with that that either makes us or breaks us. We have the choice to let that, you know, sometimes we can't help our parents. You know, sometimes they don't. I remember whenever I was younger, my dad always had guys a little older than I was that he was friends with. And boy, I was jealous of those guys. Yeah, I wanted to be friends with my dad like he was with guys that were just a few years older than I was, but maybe a little better basketball player, you know, at the time anyway. Just a little better doing something, just a little older, just, you know, and I was just always out of that reach. And I remember getting upset about that. I remember being angry that, and I also remember that when I got a little older, I just let all that go, and I just started just letting it make me a better person. And it did. You know, it just drove me to be better, to do better. And I just think a lot of times, a lot of our problems with anger and bitterness sometimes is just something that we didn't quite get over somewhere along the line. Something that we just won't let go of, about how somebody treated us, or about, you know, a lot, sometimes it's not always that, but there's a lot of times that we're just mad at God for letting something happen to us. And we can smooth it over for a while, but somewhere deep inside there's just something that we're kind of upset with God for the way He made me, or the parents that He gave me. And the sad thing is, I've seen it over and over again. Sometimes maybe a father or a mother just isn't the best one in the world. And I've seen children, you know, they grow up and they just hate what they see wrong in their parents. And then after a while, you know, they start getting older and they don't even recognize it, but they turn into the very thing they hated in their parents. And it's because they allowed that stuff to smolder and grow, and they nursed that hurt, and it just began to take over. And that's the source of a lot of anger and bitterness in people. It's because they just didn't give that up. Let it go. You know, we take ourselves so seriously when how people treat us wrong. We just take ourselves way too seriously. But if we can just die, if we can just deny ourselves and just take up the cross that God has given us and just live with it and learn to let it shape us and make us a better person. Let it build us into what God wants us to be. Paul said, Lord, and I don't know what his thorn was, but he said, Lord, take this thorn away from me. And he prayed 3 times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you to live with this. You know, I've shared before about my children. I gave them to the Lord after I started following him. And I gave them to him. And I look back and I see, you know, I've said before, the thought was, you know, they'll go be missionaries. I'll just give them, let them be something. Let them not amount to nothing in this world and just be something for God. And that's what my thought was when I gave them to him. And it went completely, they were just completely taken away from me, out of my control. And I don't know how many times I've just had to go back to whenever I see them making decisions, making choices that will wreck their lives. And I just have to go back and I said, Lord, I gave them to you. They're yours. There's not a, I can't say there's a joy in the things that they're doing, but there's a rest there and there's a peace. That whatever happens to them, they're in his hands. And you know, if I could have fixed things and done things different, you know, I'd rather have them in God's hands than mine. He knows more than I do. I can't answer why what happened, why things happen the way they do. But I know that God does. I know that God does. And there's just such rest in that. You know, there's just so many times that I see people making decisions and I would just like to say, don't do that. And sometimes I try to say, don't do that. Don't make these mistakes. And that usually just makes it worse. But I can say, Lord, they're in your hands. I've done everything that I know to do. They're making decisions I would beg them not to make. But they're in your hands. You know, I just see people, you know, they're maybe upset with someone, upset with their parents, upset with something, and they start making decisions in that condition. And I just want to say, don't. You know, in what I've seen in life, the biggest problems that came about was when someone reacted and made a decision when everything was just falling in on them and they start making decisions. That's the time, the least time you need to do to make a decision. Whenever the whole world's falling in on you and you just get to the place where you can't go no more, don't be making decisions, because they're usually dumb ones, not of a sound mind. Give it to God and just bear the cross that you're going through right now. We see things happening to us and it's like we don't see a way out. I thought of that last week. There was they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I said, well, I'm waiting for this 22nd shoe to drop or the 30th shoe to drop, because just bam, bam, bam. Time after time, just think, oh, this happened and this happened and this happened. And it was raining for a week at a time, it seemed like. And I just thought, the sun will come back out one of these days. It'll quit raining. And so as many things has just come, it'll quit raining one of these days. And you know what? Look at it. Sun's shining. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day yesterday. But I thank God for the rainy days. I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the cross. Another thing my grandma said, she had a son die when he was 44 years old. And I heard her say one time, she said, you know, it was a while before I could thank God for that happening. But I finally got to the place where I could thank God that my son was killed. And we thank God for the good things and the bad. We take the cross that he's given us, and we can either let that make us miserable, or we can let that turn us into a diamond. And the most craziest thing in the world is what God will do all depends on little old you. The power of God is in your hands. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. May God add his blessings to his words. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I got to do is follow. Strength for the day is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow.
I say amen to the message.
Praise the Lord.
So much of what you said is so anti-
Praise the Lord. All right, well.
For the boys lesson next week, just say something about the gift of choice.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6:00. God bless y'all. Part and peace.